Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. 2 weeks ago this morning, my text was taken from Acts chapter 2. Last Sunday morning, my text was taken from Acts chapter 3. And I thought I'd preach from Acts chapter 1 today to show you how systematic and orderly I am. That's like a lot of preaching, you know. If sometimes we preachers start out in one point. In fact, we have been guilty of taking a text and preaching from it, never to return. Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Look at verse 7, last phrase, "which the Father hath put in his own power." Verse 8, "but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Same English word, two different Greek words. Sometimes when we talk about power, it means one thing to this segment of society, something else to another. Sometimes we use the term power loosely. Sometimes we refer to a political office being an office of power, a powerful office. What do we mean? Then at other times we'll say, "Boy, that elephant has a lot of power." And I'm not talking about the Republican Party. Two different terms for power. One has to do with authority, an influential clout. The other has to do with might and ability. So what is the difference? We call it all power. In the Greek language, sometimes it was separated. Am I having problems, Brother Kevin? Something happened to me. Am I having problems out there? In Acts chapter 1, just before the ascension of Jesus, he called them together and he was talking to them about tarrying in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. With their political minds, they interrupted him and said, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Will you set up a literal kingdom? Will you overthrow Roman oppression? Will you become a literal king of Palestine and let us be your lieutenants? Let us be in your political government?" And he said, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you need to be interested in power that will come with the Holy Spirit." He used the Greek term in verse 7, exousia. He used the term in verse 8, dunamis. Two different aspects of power. You see, when you see a policeman, he'll have a badge on and a gun most of the time. The badge means authority, and the gun means ability. And if his gun won't get the job done, there's the National Guard, the army, the state police, and they'll bring enough tanks and might and tear gas and hand grenades to let you have their way. And they'll force you. The policeman can stand in the street and raise his hand to the traffic, and he has authority to stop the traffic. You can run over him with your car. But I suggest you don't try that, because there is some ability that goes with that authority to give you understanding that you need to recognize the authority. So it is with God. In the first place, God has granted us authority, exousia. And that authority comes from God. God is sovereign, eternal, ruler of the universe. He is creator. He made the universe in the beginning. He is Lord of the universe. He is sovereign God. His name is Jehovah. He has a kingdom. It is His pleasure as to whom He lets in that kingdom and what He allows them to do in that kingdom. You see, He holds sovereign rights to His kingdom. Now in His sovereign providence, He has decided that He would let human beings get involved in His kingdom by a certain process. He would give them authority of entrance, authority of involvement in His kingdom. In John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, He said, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, gave He power, authority, exousia, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, God had His kingdom and has His kingdom, and He lets in whom He will and keeps out whom He will. When we get in, He lets us do what He wills. He is Lord of this kingdom. The kingdom is of God. And He lets us in. He grants us authority to come in. Aren't you glad that God has granted us the authority to enter the kingdom of God by simply believing on His name? You can't merit that. You can't earn that. You can't deserve that. It's a gift of God. And the Lord said the process whereby you are giving authority to enter the kingdom is simply believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How simple it is. You don't have to be a great person. You don't have to have great possessions. Just believe on His name. And when you believe on His name and repent of your sins, then authority is granted for you to enter the gates to the kingdom of God, and you become a citizen of the kingdom of God. Your citizenship was of the devil, was of this world, but then by simply believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a citizen of heaven and a child of God, and you become part of the economy of God. Isn't that beautiful and wonderful? How many of you remember the night that God gave you the authority to become a child of God because you believed on His name? Isn't that a beautiful, simple process? And it's so valid. You see, sometimes we think we're lonely little petunias in an onion patch, that we're all alone and there's not much to us and the rest of the world all stinks. But I want you to understand, friend, you are somebody. When the great Jehovah God, who held the keys of heaven and earth and all of His universe in His hands, said, if you'll simply believe on My name, I'll give you token control over part of My kingdom. I'll put you in My kingdom. I'll give you jurisdiction in My kingdom as a citizen of My kingdom. Bless His holy name. That's good recognition. You may never have your lights and names and your name and lights in this world, and you may never have your name in the headlines in this world, but my blessed God, when eternal God says, you can be a citizen of My kingdom, and I give you authority to enter. That's authority, friend. That's higher than the president. That's higher than Congress. That's higher than any parliament. And just think, little old you has been granted authority from Jehovah God to be a part of His kingdom. You're somebody. And you see, in Luke chapter 10, He points out to us that sometimes we rejoice over the wrong thing. When He sent the 74th in verses 17 through 20, He gave them power to do certain things in His name by proxy. They came back rejoicing and shouting and said, Jesus, the devils are subject unto us. Oh, we've been casting out devils. Isn't that great and wonderful? Hallelujah. Praise God. He said, you ought to rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's the highest priority. There is no greater priority or greater privilege than having your name written in heaven, friend. Sometimes we get involved in this secondary situation of what signs are following and what's happening, and sometimes we follow signs when signs should be following us, and we get so concerned about the signs and things that are happening that we think that's the greatest thing in the world. My blessed God, it's greater for a child to come become a child of God, a person to become a child of God, than it is to be healed of cancer or healed of heart trouble or healed of blindness. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes if a blind person, and God knows I wish they could all be healed, if a blind person were healed instantly in this service, we'd get shouting happy. But sometimes when a person is given childship in the kingdom, authority to enter the kingdom of God, we just go on out of the door and say, well, somebody professed to get saved. There is no greater authority, no greater miracle given to mankind than that of becoming a citizen of the kingdom and a child of God. Bless his holy name. And if you're a child of God, you have been granted great authority. But if you're a child of the devil and a child of the world and serving the devil, just realize there is authority waiting for you that you can enter the kingdom of heaven and you can shake off the shackles of sin and turn from the devil and turn to God and become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Blessed be God. I don't know if you're not a Christian why you're waiting. Blessed be God, Jehovah God. The highest power in all this universe extends authority to you to become a child of God. Claim that authority. Repent of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have your death turned into life. Your darkness into light. Have your nothing turned into something. Blessed be God. It's wonderful to be a child of God. There's nothing like it in the world. The greatest joy, the greatest privilege, the greatest peace is to have a relationship with your heavenly Father and to know that your name's recorded in His book. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Are there any children of God listening to me now? It's great to be a child of God. They were rejoicing because they had some authority over the devil. That's good authority, but authority with God to be a part of His kingdom is greater. And then, you know, sometimes we misunderstand this business of authority coming to Him. Being is greater than doing. You must serve, but you must become a servant before you can serve. You see, this authority to become a child of God is authority to be. The authority or power of being. So many times we're so concerned about doing. And young Christians are interested in doing. And the more you learn about God, the more you appreciate being, what He is and what you are and your relationship to Him. But it is an authority to be the child of God, the son or the daughter of God. And we have authority to act, not only to be His child, but to act like His child by proxy. In my name shall you cast out devils. In my name shall you lay hands on the sick, and shall they recover. They shall recover. If we ask anything in His name according to His word, He will do it. What power there is that God has granted us, what authority in His name. Blessed be God. It's wonderful to have authority with God. See, it's all summed up in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Isn't that simple? You want to know how to be a child of God? Follow the Spirit. You want to know how to get involved in the spiritual things of God? Follow the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are children of God, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And He goes on to say, if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that chapter is chock full of childship blessings. Blessings for the children. But watch the sequence of it. If you let the Spirit lead you, you will get involved in the kingdom of God and become a child of God. And the Spirit will bear witness that you are a child of God. Would you let me get very juvenile in my thinking for a little bit and give you an illustration? Can you picture an orphaned waif of a child in a ghetto, dirty, sores all over the body, blind and deaf, ragged, almost naked, picking up what crumbs off the street and out of garbage cans that might happen to come to this little blind, deaf child? Nobody seems to care, but all of a sudden, a well-dressed gentleman in a long limousine comes down that street in the ghetto and has the chauffeur stop that limousine and gets out and goes over by the garbage can and picks up that little waif and takes that little boy or that little girl and takes that child and puts it in the limousine. And the chauffeur drives out of the ghetto and leaves the slums behind, leaves all of this degradation behind, gets on a nicer street where the houses are better, gets in the landscaped lawn area, gets in the multi-billion or trillion dollar area, goes in a gate to a mansion without stopping to pass security. The limousine stops at the front door, and this well-dressed gentleman takes this little child in his arms and goes in the front door of this mansion and goes into the room where there is a well-dressed lord of it all, master of that mansion and that estate. And he takes this little dirty, filthy, orphan child that nobody cares for and places that little child in the lap of that guy that's a trillionaire. And that guy begins to stroke that little waif and caress that little waif and says to those deaf ears, I love you.
This is the end of side one. Please turn the cassette over.
I'm going to get you to the best ear surgeon so you can hear, and the best eye surgeon so you can see. And we're going to bathe you and dress you and clothes like you've never had. We're going to put you in a room of your own with a beautiful, clean bed. You're going to sit at my table and eat with me. You're going to be my son. I'm going to adopt you. Can you imagine, after the process of hearing and sight restoration, and after the process of washing and cleansing and dressing, can you imagine after that process, what does that little child do for that gentleman? Doesn't run away and go out the gate and go back to the ghetto. That little child stays close to that kind gentleman. From nothing to everything. And then can you imagine that little child going out to tell the story? What a story it would be to tell. That's just a crude earthly illustration. But I want to tell you, we were in the pits of sin. We were in the quagmires of sin, blind and deaf and lost, diseased and dying, and nobody could help us. But the Holy Spirit, the great agent of God, left the throne room of glory and came to this earth, and he's walking your street and walking my street, and he's walking the ghettos. He walks the streets of Cleveland. He walks the streets of the mission field, and he finds lost and hopeless human beings and brings them to the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. Blessed be God. How many of you remember the night when you were lost in sin and this loving Holy Spirit with all of God's splendor came to you and said, somebody loves you, and brought conviction to your heart that there's a better life, there's a better way, and you can have a better day? Blessed be God, there's no greater story than that. And he gives that child authority to take his name and to enjoy his riches and to claim all that's in his estate. My blessed God, heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. My Lord, that's enough to thrill any soul. I don't know why anybody wants to serve the devil and be blind and deaf and diseased and dying and lost and hopeless. There is a loving Heavenly Father, and the great attorney of God, the Holy Spirit, is ready to effect the adoption. You can be adopted into the family of God and then cry, Abba, Father, our Father, blessed be God, my Father. From slaves to sons. Beautiful story. And then the second verse of my text, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be witnesses unto me. And that word there is dunamis, supernatural ability, persuasive power to overcome resistance. Can you imagine that orphaned child going back down to the ghetto and saying, you won't ever believe what happened to me. This guy in this limousine, two blocks long, came by and put me in it and took me to the kindest gentleman I've ever met. And I sleep in a bed as big as a building, and I eat at a table with a whole grocery store full of food on the table. And all I have to do to get anything I want is just ask, and my needs are met. Can you imagine those folks? I don't believe that. I know who you were. I know where you used to live. You lived by the garbage can. You used to live on the streets in the slums. But you know what Jesus said? He said, when you start to tell the story of your adoption, they won't believe you. But I'm going to give you dunamis, supernatural persuasive power through the Holy Spirit, and they will hear you. Some will believe and some will accept. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Bless his holy name. You see, that dunamis, friend, is power to overcome obstacles. Nothing can stand in the way of dunamis. He gives us authority to get in his kingdom, authority to use his name, but that won't get the job done. He sends a supernatural ability to see that that authority works. I want you to understand, he puts the gun on the policeman. When you get in the kingdom, he puts a badge on you, the badge of authority, the badge of identification, but he also gives you that power of persuasion to carry out that authority. Bless his holy name. And you understand that the very gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. In Matthew 16, verses 16 through 18, Jesus said to them, who do folks say I am? And of course, self-anointed, self-appointed spokesman Simon Peter said, some of them say you're a prophet, and others say you're a good guy, and they have differences of opinion. He said, but what do you think about me? Who do you say I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. You didn't get this out of a book, and you didn't get this on the sea fishing. Your heavenly Father revealed this to you. And he said, upon this rock, the revelation of the heavenly Father to your heart and your life and your confession before God of that revelation, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Some folks think the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is just a puny little band of pilgrims barely making it through, hoping the devil will stay away from them long enough they can finally get to heaven. That's not the story. This is a militant marching army for the Lord, a viable force, the strongest force in this world is God's people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he didn't say that I'll give you power so you can withstand the gates of hell when the powers of the devil come against you. It simply means that when you take the onslaught, you take the offensive, you go on the aggressive, and you storm the gates of hell, they'll fall down in your face. That's what it means in the original Greek. If you want to understand what I'm talking about, friend, look at the walls of Jericho. There was a little group of people that God birthed called Israel, gave them authority to use his name. And he told them to take Jericho. And here this crowd goes with some ram's horns and unlikely soldiers marching up to this walled city, and they have their Gatling guns or their swords or whatever weapons they had on top of the walls, making fun of this little band of grasshoppers coming. And when the grasshoppers got to their city of Jericho, they didn't take their tanks and try to knock the door down. They didn't take a battering ram and try to destroy the gate. They just started circling. I want to tell you, when God's people start circling, friend, when they start going around and around in the name of the Lord, somebody's going to get drunk. And it won't be God's people. Somebody's going to get dizzy. And can you imagine, for 7 days they just went round and around, and on the seventh day, seven times, and then the music started. They started those ram's horns and the trumpets. And when it did, those walls sunk down, and they marched across without firing a shot, without exploding any dynamite. I want to tell you, he said, the very gates of hell cannot withstand the onslaught of God's people when they come in his authority with his supernatural ability. That power of dunamis, praise God, that comes from God. Hallelujah. If you want to understand in the New Testament what I'm talking about, a little short fellow called Saul went over to a place where there was a great cultist. And he went over to this cult, this cultist territory, and started testifying about Jesus. And pretty soon, bar Jesus, Elymas the sorcerer showed up. And he came out to challenge Paul. And he said, "This is my religious territory. You get out of here. I've staked my claim to this territory, and you can't invade it. I am the religious master of this territory." And Paul remembered a time when Saul of Tarsus felt like he had authority. You remember when he had authority from an earthly high priest to put the Christians in jail and imprison them and beat them. And he was arrested by a greater authority. The highest authority of this universe arrested him on Damascus Road, and he went to a street called Straight with Scales on his eyes and got very humble. And the Bible said, Paul, full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, you shall receive power to be witnesses unto me, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that includes Elymas territory. That includes the territory of Bar Jesus and every other cultist and devil of this world. We can march in and take that territory. When he looked at Bar Jesus, and Bar Jesus issued his challenge, and he came against him in the name of sorcery and idolatry and all these incantations, Paul said, being full of the Holy Ghost, all subtlety, be thou blind for a season. And immediately, the Bible said, a mist of darkness came on his eyes. I want to tell you, God hasn't put us in the kingdom to let us fail. This is God's church. This is God's kingdom. We're God's people. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit and take the kingdoms of this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine this challenging cultist who was a superpower of that territory? Can you imagine him immediately going blind and seeking someone to lead him? He came in roaring like a lion and left like a blind kitten. God help us to realize that God will give us supernatural ability to get the task done for God. He hasn't called us to conquer the kingdoms. He's called us to go in the name of Jesus, and he will furnish the power. He will furnish the supernatural ability. Bless his holy name. Isn't it great to be on the right side? Isn't it great to be on the winning side? Isn't it great to be on God's side? You see, this dunamis, our English word dynamite, comes from this. There are two other words that come from this. You've heard Brother Lowry talk about dynamite. But I want to tell you, we were in the pits of sin. We were in the quagmires of sin, blind and deaf and lost, diseased and dying, and nobody could help us. But the Holy Spirit, the great agent of God, left the throne room of glory and came to this earth, and he's walking your street and walking my street, and he's walking the ghettos. He walks the streets of Cleveland. He walks the streets of the mission field, and he finds lost and hopeless human beings and brings them to the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. Blessed be God. How many of you remember the night when you were lost in sin and this loving Holy Spirit with all of God's splendor came to you and said, somebody loves you, and brought conviction to your heart that there's a better life, there's a better way, and you can have a better day. Blessed be God, there's no greater story than that. And he gives that child authority to take his name and to enjoy his riches and to claim all that's in his estate. My blessed God, heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. My Lord, that's enough to thrill any soul. I don't know why anybody wants to serve the devil and be blind and deaf and diseased and dying and lost and hopeless. There is a loving Heavenly Father, and the great attorney of God, the Holy Spirit, is ready to effect the adoption. You can be adopted into the family of God and then cry, Abba Father, our Father, blessed be God, my Father. From slaves to sons. Beautiful story. And then the second verse of my text, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be witnesses unto me. And that word there is dunamis, supernatural ability, persuasive power to overcome resistance. Can you imagine that orphaned child going back down to the ghetto and saying, you won't ever believe what happened to me. This guy in this limousine, two blocks long, came by and put me in it and took me to the kindest gentleman I've ever met. And I sleep in a bed as big as a building, and I eat at a table with a whole grocery store full of food on the table. And all I have to do to get anything I want is just ask, and my needs are met.